Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Are going through a time right now of fasting and prayer.
and to what end? We need to find out what that's about and what Scripture says about it, because certainly it's a good thing that we're fasting and we're praying, but it should not necessarily be something that we do just in January or at the beginning of the year. Many people embrace the Daniel fast, or they go through different types of cleansings for the natural body, and certainly fasting is one of those things that heightens our awareness in the spirit, and it's a good thing. Because fasting does, according to the Word of God, bring power from God and give sensitivity to our spirit. And so that's the thing that we want to be aware of tonight as we share with you before we sign off tonight. Just a scripture there in Matthew 17 and 21 gives us to know that sometimes prayer alone isn't enough. And we, with Women in Ministry, we're praying every Monday night after this broadcast. We're praying for you, actually. Many of you we don't know, but we pray for you. We lift up all of those who listen to Blog Talk, those who partner with Women in Ministry in any way, those who partner with Led by Jesus Ministries, LBJ Ministries. We pray for you. We pray for churches everywhere. But sometimes prayer alone is not enough to accomplish God's purposes. What am I saying? Speaking about some instances that we know of in the Word of God, and perhaps you know of some too, where Jesus certainly put his stamp of approval on fasting. The Bible tells us about a man who had a demon-possessed son, and he came to Jesus' disciples. He wanted his son delivered, and he came to the disciples, and instead of casting the demon out, the demon mocked them. And so why? Why was it? It was that they really were not prepared to confront the enemy on that level. Jesus, in turn, came after them and was able to cast the demon out. And he explained to his disciples what was going on. They wanted to know, why is it that we couldn't cast? Why is it we couldn't cast him out? Why is it we couldn't bring deliverance? But Jesus said, this kind does not go out except by prayer, what? And fasting. Now, that's the New King James Version, Matthew 17 and 21. But Christ could cast out any demon. He really could have done that at any time. He fasted and he prayed regularly. But the scriptures help us to understand that when we're powerless in the things of the spirit, it's really coming from feeding our flesh more than our spirit, or neglecting our spirit man. You know, God has made us so that we do need to fuel our bodies. We do need to eat food. Our bodies require food. Our bodies need food. They need nourishment. But God wants us to be not controlled by our fleshly appetite, not ruled by that, but rather to be ruled or controlled by our spirit. And so that's what Jesus was teaching them, is that, listen, prayer is good. And when you subject yourself to prayer, that's good. But there are going to be times when, if you're going to war on a higher level, you're going to have to couple your prayer with fasting, because sometimes our flesh will get in the way of the flow of the spirit, and it'll call to us. We talk about all kinds of things in terms of addictions and drugs and this and that calling to us, but sometimes just the flesh calling to you wanting to eat. Try going on a fast, and your flesh will rise up. But Jesus was saying to his disciples that, listen, the demon that you face today could only come out by prayer and fasting. So he was saying to them, listen, prayer is good, but sometimes you're going to need to add something else to your prayers. You're going to have that spirit of consecration to God, totally seeking him, and then abstaining from those things that will interfere with the flow of God in your life. And so I'm saying that tonight to say that there are many of us who are seeking God for many things, and many of us have been believers for a long time. And sometimes even in your walk with the Lord for many years, it can seem that the Lord is distant. And those are times that I would encourage you to couple your prayer life with fasting. Some may say, well, I'm on medication, or I can't go for long periods of time without food. But seek God in terms of how to fast, how to put your flesh under subjection to the Spirit of God, and that's really what it's about. We talk about those who are on medications and they have to drink and they have to have food with their medications. Well, the Lord will give us wisdom in how to fast. Now, we know that the Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was very hungry. And it was after that that he was tempted by the enemy and led into the wilderness by the Spirit. But now, when we seek God about how to fast, because as we go into this new year, the word I want to leave you with is how to be empowered. We want you to be empowered for ministry and ministry on a greater level. So fasting is not just for the month of January. It's something that we want to make a part of, if we have not already done this, but make it a part of our Christian walk. You know, I belonged to a Christian persuasion where fast days were Tuesdays and Fridays. They fasted every Tuesday and Friday. It was just a regular thing to bring the saints of God, first of all, into a spirit of oneness and unity, that everybody who belonged to that persuasion were fasting every Tuesday and every Friday. But I started out by saying, seek God on how he wants you to do that. Certainly if you're on medications and whatever, it's no reason that you cannot fast. Perhaps you'll have to fast some things that are very dear to you, be it television programs. You say, okay, you know what, I'm giving them up for a week. It's like, okay, well, how in the world can I do that? Well, if it seems hard, maybe that's one of those things that maybe you would put under subjection and say, you know what, you're not going to call to me this week and have me answer. But every time I am inclined to go to that, whatever it is that I watch, excuse me, or whatever it is that I listen to, or whatever it is that I do, or places that I frequent, I'm not going to do that. Or having to have sweets all the time, I'm going to cut that out. I'm not going to do that. You know, pray and ask God to help you to rid yourself of some things that are really pulling from the flesh, and you can put those things under subjection and commit yourself to God, because fasting is going to ignite the power of God within you and help then to develop a hunger for intimacy with God. Think about if every time you think about just having your dessert or your ice cream float or whatever it is, or watching your favorite show, if you say, okay, every time I'm inclined to do that this week, I'm going to just pray. I'm going to put in more time for prayer. That doesn't mean you have to run home and get on your knees and be somewhere praying, because, you know, certainly if you're giving up sweets and you're thinking about it, wherever you are, you pray. And then God is going to strengthen you. God is going to, of course, preserve you and bring you through, but it's a matter of being equipped, because fasting really helps then to prepare us for ministry. And that's one thing that holds us back, is if we're not disciplined in that way, then we don't find the breakthrough that we need. Fasting is what often brings breakthrough in those difficult times. Certainly when we fast corporately, that means with your entire body, with your entire church. But there's something about fasting in your personal life. You know, it helps to break down those areas in your life that are resistant to the things of God. We can be saved, but still have areas in our lives that are resistant to the things of God. So just like in the Word of God, sometimes holy fasts were declared. Well, we can do that in our own lives. You know, you read in the Old Testament, and they had all the animals fasting, the children, everybody fasted. Strangers in the land, whether they were Jew or Greek, it didn't matter. They had everyone fast when they had called a fast for God to move on their behalf. But I'll say this, once you've fasted, you need to get ready, because God is going to move on our behalf. You know, God is going to respond when we fast, because God responds generally with deliverance and with blessing when his people fast and pray. So have you been praying for something and it just seems like nothing is happening, and maybe you've been praying about it or for it or with regard to that for quite some time, but when we add fasting to it, we may then see the breakthrough. I'm reminded of a story that I read where a teacher was saying that his mother would always say to he and his siblings that God is going to save them. He would say, God's going to save you all. She would say, God's going to save you because I'm fasting for you. I'm fasting for you, and God is going to save you. And so the children didn't necessarily understand that, but the teacher was saying that today he and all of his siblings are saved and that their mother was able to see them all saved before she transitioned into glory. So remember, James tells us, too, that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, effectual and fervent. And sometimes fasting adds to the effectiveness of our prayers. That's what I want to encourage you with as we're finishing up with Blog Talk, is that you got to understand that God wants to move us to a higher place in terms of ministry. Now, whatever it is that you've been called to, whatever it is, some may say, well, I don't have any type of ministry. Well, just your walk with the Lord. God wants you to constantly be abounding in the works of the Lord, going higher, trusting God for greater. You know, we are at the very least called to be ministers of reconciliation. So we're to see the need. We're to pray for those who are not saved. Most of us who are saved have individuals in our families who are yet not saved, and we need to be praying for them. And sometimes it takes more than that. We need to couple that with fasting for our family members, for those who we work with, for friends, for acquaintances. Sometimes I just walk through the hospital across from where I work, and whenever I step in those doors, I just begin to pray. God, I begin to pray for all of those who are in the hospital, those who perhaps are in ICU, those who are going through surgery. I just begin to pray. God bless. Walk up and down these corridors. But God wants us to have that spirit of prayer. But what he's saying is, I want you to then begin to couple this with fasting so that you're more sensitive to my spirit, so that those gifts within you are sensitized and heightened. You know, because many of us have giftings that are really lying dormant, and it's because we need to be more sensitive in the spirit so that we'll be freer, we'll be freed up to operate in those giftings. And we can pray and give ourselves to God in that way. Tell God that we want to consecrate ourselves to him. Tell him that we desire to fast. We desire to grow closer, and we realize that it's only through fasting and prayer that meeting the enemy on a higher level is going to happen for us. That's the way it is. When we begin to fast, we're moving into a higher realm of warfare. Yes, we're moving into a higher realm of warfare. When you're fasting and praying, you're going to be confronted with things that you wouldn't naturally be confronted with. But we have to come to fasting in the right spirit. There's no need in fasting and all you're thinking about is eating. You know, you're going through the day fasting and you're constantly checking the clock because you know that your fast is over at 2 or your fast is over at 1 or your fast is over at 3. So you keep checking the clock to see where the time is. No, we have to have the right spirit when we fast, okay? So God is saying, come with the right spirit. If you remember in Isaiah 58, and you can read that on your own, they were fasting, but they had the wrong spirit in fasting. And they asked God, listen, we fasted. Why haven't you not seen it? Why haven't you not done something about it? We humbled ourselves before you, and you haven't even noticed. But God let them know that their fasting, you know, would end in quarreling and strife and, you know, striking each other with wicked fists. And, you know, that's not the type of fast that God requires. God requires a holy fast. So I'm back to saying to you, if you're a part of that type of a move where at the beginning of the year people are fasting and they are praying before God, make it a part of your Christian walk. Make it a part of what you're doing in terms of getting serious with God, committing to him in a greater way, because time is winding up. If we look around us, there's so much that's going on in our world. The enemy has heightened the stakes. You know, things are happening and things are going on that we never would have thought of, even just 10 years ago. But we're seeing so many things happening around us where the enemy is just bold and brazen. And God is saying, anymore, it's going to take my people really consecrating themselves to me, setting themselves apart to me, and allowing me to be big in and through them. See, God wants to be glorified in and through us, so we have to be out of the way. God wants us to be the repairer of the breach for those who are lost, those who have been ostracized and put aside. But God's going to break chains. He's going to break chains of injustice. He's going to destroy yokes for those who are oppressed. God is going to do that, but he's doing it through his people. And he's calling his people to much fasting and much prayer. It's his anointing that destroys the yoke. And it's through fasting and prayer that demons are exorcised, that demons are defeated, you know, that people are delivered. It's really having that mindset that, God, it's you that I want. It's not fame. It's not money. It's not another house. All those things may be okay. But, see, our first priority has to be for the things of God, for God and for the things of God. And that's what he's doing in this hour, is he's separating those who truly want him, who want him. And I gave you Isaiah 58, I think, as a reference. And as you go there, it's going to read to you, I mean, it's going to share with you as you go down through 58 about us being the repairer of the breach. That's who we are. We stand in the gap and we pray. But if we just pray and we never fast and we never consecrate ourselves to God, we become weary. And the enemy knows that because, see, it's fasting that activates our faith. Fasting will really activate our faith because it activates your spiritual sensitivity. You want to hear the voice of God? We want to hear more with clarity? Well, fasting does that. As we starve this flesh, our spirit man becomes more sensitive, and we begin to hear God with more clarity. We begin to see differently because the flesh isn't taking dominance. And this is what most of God's people want. So they pray and they pray and they pray and they become weary in praying. But God is saying, listen, what I need you to do is couple all that prayer with fasting, because you're going to have to starve the flesh. You're going to have to starve it so that you can hear me in the spirit. And so if you've ever gone on a prolonged fast before, you understand exactly what I'm saying here. And our spirit man becomes more keen, and we hear God. God will begin to speak to you and share with you in dreams, in visions. God will wake you up and give you things to write in the midnight hour. He'll give you things to write during time when you could be sleeping or would have otherwise been sleeping, because your spirit man is more sensitive, so God will call you away and call to you. God will show you things. God will give us how to pray, and we'll find that when we fast, you know, we're really in preparation for answers to our prayers, because God has promised that when we fast, he's going to answer us. He's going to hear us, and he's going to answer. Our spiritual ears are open with a greater capacity, and our ability to receive is really increased because we're empty of ourselves. We're empty of those other things that bring us comfort, you know, the things that have really been of interest to us. They are not the things that we're running to, but we're running to God. I'm trusting that this makes sense to you, because God wants us again to take our focus through this season, and all the more as we pray. Trust God, taking our focus off of ourselves and to begin to pray and intercede for others. Because, listen, there's something about praying for others. When we do that, God will take care of our needs as we pray for others. Amen. So I want you to think now about using the name of Jesus, because that's where I want to end up, because we're talking about praying and we're talking about fasting. But we have to have faith in the name of Jesus. It's Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him that gives us our completion, everything that we need. I want you to go to Acts 3 and 16, and that's where you'll find that. But we want to do everything that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's not just some type of formula. In the name of Jesus, 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 Lord. No, when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we're praying with the authority that has been given to us because of relationship. Praying in the name of Jesus is what really gives tremendous power to our prayers. There's power in the name of Jesus, but we have to first of all have relationship with him. Do you remember the sons of Sceva? When we were in Acts 19, I'm gonna read a little bit about that. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. That's Acts 19, verses 13 through 17. Now, what are we saying here? We have to really be able to legally use the name of the Lord Jesus. We have to have the authority behind the name. There's power in the name of Jesus, and we obtain results by using that name. So when we pray during this season of great fasting and prayer, check your relationship, because it's not just about praying prayers like we have some type of magical formula and saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, because that's what they were doing. But when we have relationship with him, and we have, then we have the authority to use that name, and he has commanded us to use the name, and the enemy has to respond as we call upon the name of Jesus. And we will find ourselves delivered. We'll find ourselves taken to a higher place in our walk with God. We'll see family members saved. We'll see co-workers begin to turn around and to act right. I mean, all the things that we're seeking God for, we want to couple it with the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of fasting. You see, if somebody else uses the name of Jesus and they don't have the authority to use it, the enemy knows that. The enemy recognizes that right away. That's what we saw happening in the scripture with the sons of Sceva. The enemy recognized that they don't have the authority to use this name, because they're saying, we're coming to you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Okay, whom Paul preaches, but you don't know him for yourself? Okay, so a lot of times people have unanswered prayers because they don't understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus doesn't just mean tagging that on at the end of your prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. No, that doesn't make the prayer any more powerful. When we say that, it seals the prayer when we have relationship with Jesus. So it's crucial for effective prayer that we use the name of Jesus, that we pray the word of God. We're coupling this with fasting, and we're coming with authority. And we have to understand our authority. And when we say, in Jesus' name, amen, yes, that prayer is effective, because we're saying amen. We're saying, and it is so. And it is so because we have the authority to come in his name. That's what it is. When we're coming in the name of Jesus, you know, we are saying that we have the authority, and we're coming in his name. Otherwise, we're frauds. When we're coming and we're attempting to use the name of Jesus and we don't have the authority to use it, we're coming fraudulently. I can't use your bank account, come in your name trying to take money out of your bank account, that would be fraud. And likewise, if you tried to do that toward me, we have to have something to say that we have the authority to access what's in the account. And it's the same when we come trying to come before the Father, because Jesus is the only one who gives us access to the Father. And we come in his name using our rights and our privileges as children of the living God, right? Because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1 and 12. So what are we saying? As we go forward in this year, this is not a New Year's resolution. It is a way of life for us as the saints of God. We are going to commit ourselves to more prayer, but we are going to amp our prayers up, if you will. We're going to put more power to our prayers by making fasting a way of life for us as well, not just during the month of January, not just trying to go through a Daniel's fast or whatever you're doing with your church, but we have authority through the name of the Lord Jesus. And we know that when Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted and he prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, he came out, the scriptures will tell you, with power. And it's going to be for the same with us. We're going to be empowered. We're going to walk in more power as we fast and pray, as we couple our prayer life with fasting. And we can pray directly to God the Father in Jesus' name, because Jesus has given us the authority to do so. He's authorized us to use his name. He's told us to ask what we ask in his name. It's part of our covenant, and we have that authority. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. Now, God wants to reveal himself to us in a greater way. And what he has spoken to my spirit is that there's such a greater place of sensitivity in the spirit realm. Many of you who are, oh my goodness, so rich in giftings, and your anointing will be heightened as you fast and pray, and your gift from God is going to be more pronounced, and it's coming forward in a greater way. And I'm going to say this, don't look for expressions of people to give you the go-ahead to use what God has given you, because as you begin to fast and to pray, God is going to begin to speak to your spirit and show you things, even show you things to come, as he said. And you have to trust him. Trust him and walk in intimacy with him. God will not fail us. You know, he's a true and living God, and he will not fail us. And he desires to use you, my friend, and me in a greater way. And I don't know about you, but I want that. And the other part of this is that he's going to raise someone up. It may as well be us. He's going to raise up his people in this time, in this last day, who are willing to sacrifice and consecrate themselves to him on a greater level, because it's going to take that. It's going to take more because the stakes are higher. You know, the enemy is going for the jugular. You know, he's fighting, and he's not fighting fair. And so we have to be able to get in there with the arsenal of God, be sensitive and know what it is that he's telling us to do in the spirit, and to move when he tells us to move, because we're in warfare. This is spiritual warfare. You don't go into spiritual warfare eating spare ribs and chicken and, you know, or whatever else we want to eat. We have to lay down some of that and get before God and feed on his word. Let his word become our meat. You know, let his word become our meat. Let his word be our bread. Jesus has said he's the bread of life. He's also the water. If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and to drink. So God can be our all in all. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the true vine, all those things that we attribute to him. So I want to encourage you, seek God more. You know, amp it up. Whatever that you're doing, go forward. Go be in God's face even the more in this coming year. It has been a pleasure. I'm going to tell you this. It's been a pleasure to be with you on Blog Talk Radio. We know that seasons change, but our God doesn't change. I just want to leave you signing off saying I want you to become more sensitive to the Spirit, meet God in a greater way, meet God where He's calling you. He's calling you to a higher place. Watch God. He's faithful. Watch Him be faithful in your life. Let's pray for God to save our loved ones. Time is winding up. We want Him to save our loved ones before it's everlasting too late. Amen. Well, we thank God for you. We bless you. Continue to walk in favor. That's what I always say. Just continue to walk in favor. Our God is great and is greatly to be praised. We love you. God bless you. And thank you so much for being partners with us on When Passion Meets Purpose.